This is part B of Joy as a Christian in the End Times. Now let's come back here to John 14, and we'll pick it up here in verse 23. We're going to find love and peace, which are also connected, as we will see in just a bit, with joy. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." There again, the message of Jesus Christ. Whenever you see "my word," that's not talking about a single word. This is talking about his entire message. "And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." So this shows that when he speaks of the Holy Spirit, and tie that in with Romans, the 8th chapter, that there are two aspects to the Holy Spirit, the begettal by the Father and the Spirit of Christ, which develops the mind of Christ. That's why it says, we will come to him and we will make our abode with him, because we become a temporary tabernacle for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's something to be joyful about, that Christ dwells in you, the Father dwells in you, and you, with the Holy Spirit of God, are a child of God, so that you're going to live with him forever in peace and love and joy. So keep that in mind. Now here's the contrast. Verse 24. "The one who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Because Jesus spoke everything that the Father wanted him to say, and to teach, and to do. So here we find a relationship now that we will see in just a little bit, establishes direct connection between us and God the Father and Jesus Christ. And they are the source of our joy. They are the source of our love. Now, verse 25. "I have spoken these things to you while I am yet present with you, but when the Comforter comes," and it's the Holy Spirit which brings comfort and love and peace and joy. Because, as we'll see a little bit, those are the beginning fruits of the Holy Spirit. "But when the Comforter comes, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, that one shall teach you all things," that is, all things you need for salvation, "and shall bring to your remembrance everything that I have told you," so that later they could write down all the important things so that we have it here today. "Peace I leave with you." Now this is the spiritual peace which comes from God through his Spirit. "My peace I give to you," which means that regardless of whatever is going on, the peace of God is going to rule in your mind and in your heart. "Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be, or let it fear, rather." And so this is telling us what? Don't be anxious, don't be troubled, don't be upset, don't be depressed. Don't let things get you down. Don't let fear rule your life, though fearful things take place, because there is hope beyond the fear. There is hope beyond the difficulties you see. "Nor let it fear." You have heard me say that I am going away and that I will come to you again. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced that I said, I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it happens, so that when it comes to pass, you may believe. Now let's look at something else. Come over here to John 16 here, please. John 16, talking about prayer, talking about the love of God. Let's pick it up here in verse 26. Now, this is a special blessing that has been granted to all who pray, and particularly to those who have the Holy Spirit of God. And those who have the Holy Spirit of God are in a special relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Notice what he says here, verse 26. John 16, verse 26. In that day, you shall ask in my name. That's why all prayers are asked in the name of Jesus Christ. And I do not tell you that I will beseech the Father for you. Now let's just interject something here that is very important to understand. And all of you ex-Catholics realize it. And Catholics who don't, listen up. Which is this. You are told by the Catholic Church that you pray to Mary. Now, Mary is not ascended to heaven, but you're told to pray to her. And she will intercede for you to the Son, who will intercede to the Father. Now, that, as righteous as it may appear to some people, is a blatant lie and a denial of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Here's why. God gives you direct communication to Him. He doesn't need anyone else. All right. I do not tell you that I will beseech the Father for you, for the Father Himself loves you. God has direct personal interest in you, your life, your thoughts, your mind, your circumstances, your spiritual growth, your understanding. All of that. The Father Himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. So we are to pray directly to the Father. Isn't that something? Let's come back up here to verse 23 and see how he emphasized this. No, verse 22. Likewise, you indeed have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and no one shall take your joy from you. Now, this is to the apostles. Remember what happened after Jesus rose from the dead. He all of a sudden appeared in the room. And this gave them a special joy that only they could share, as well as with all that he appeared to, including the 500 that he appeared to at once on the mountain in Galilee. This served two things. Number one, as to be witnesses of the resurrection, you got to see him, and they saw him, and he taught them for 40 days and 40 nights. All right. And no one shall take your joy from you. Don't surrender it. Now, you can surrender it through sin, through neglect, through bitterness, through hatred, through resentment. Don't surrender it, you see. No one can take it from you. Verse 23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing, let alone Mary. Truly, truly, I tell you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now, if you need some encouragement in prayer that God will answer your prayers, then you go through and study all the places where we are told to pray and ask, and God will provide. We are told to ask, to seek, to knock, and it shall be given. So claim those promises. Verse 24, until this day you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So God wants us to have that joy, and it comes from him. You see, the joy is there to be received, but too many times we let circumstances and thoughts crowd it all out. And when that happens, that means we need to spend more time in prayer, we need to spend more time in study, we need to have our minds fixed on Christ, we need to meditate on him. All right. Now we've covered it here. Let's come down here a little bit further. Let's come down here to verse 31. Jesus answered them when we said, by this we believe that you came forth from God. After 3.5 years of training, after seeing everything that was done, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Listen. The time is coming and is already come that you shall be scattered each to his own, and you shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be courageous, I have overcome the world. The King James says good cheer. So showing that in spite of what happens, don't let these things overtake you. Now, chapter 17. Chapter 17. Let's pick it up here in verse 11. And here's Jesus' prayer for us. Now, let me ask you a question. Is this not a continuing prayer for everyone who believes? Yes, for us. Verse 11, and I am no longer in the world, he's praying to the Father, but these are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, those whom you have given me, so that they may be one even as we are one. That's the goal. Just as a sidebar, the we identifies who? God the Father and Jesus Christ, correct? Yes. And he talks about us. We'll see here in a little bit. So when you read Genesis 1:26, when it says, let us make man in our image, it is referring to the Father and to Christ. The we. Just a little sidebar here as we go along. Verse 12. When I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. I protected those whom you have given me, and not one of them has perished except the son of perdition, in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I'm speaking while yet in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. This is why we're to keep our hearts and minds on Christ. And this spiritual inner joy is going to be reflected in spiritual growth in a positive manner, in understanding the Word of God, in handling circumstances as they come along. Verse 14, I've given them your words, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you take them out of the world. Sometimes we feel like that, you know, like the psalm said, oh, that I had the wings of a bird, that I could fly to the top of a mountain, you know, escape and get away from it all. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. That's why we are told in the model prayer there in Matthew 6 and Luke 11 to deliver us or rescue us from the evil one. Who is Satan interested more than anybody else? He's interested in those who know God, who have the Spirit of God, and so he's going to try and devise as many devices as possible to put stumbling blocks in our way. So, we pray every day, rescue us or deliver us from the evil one. They are not of the world, because we have the Spirit of God, know the Word of God, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is the truth. Now, sanctify is a very important thing. That means to be made holy. And that is by the Spirit of God. Sanctified means to be set aside by God for a special purpose. Just like he sanctified the seventh day and blessed it and made it holy. So likewise, with God's Word and God's Spirit, when we have the Spirit of God in us, we are sanctified. And 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul writes that you be sanctified in body, in soul, and in mind, meaning your whole being. It's through the truth of God. Now let's go on just a few more verses here. So this is how we keep our mind focused on the goal, focused on the purpose, focused on what Jesus did. And remember, this is part of what Jesus told us just before he was arrested and led off to be tried and crucified. Verse 18. Even as you did send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they may be sanctified in your truth. That also talks about, in Ephesians, the first chapter, of being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's how we're sanctified. Now notice verse 20. Here's a perpetual prayer for all that God calls. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who shall believe in me through their word. That's why the works and the fruit of the apostles is still going on today through the Bible, through the preaching of the gospel. Through what we're doing here right now is part of the fruit of the apostles for what Christ gave them to do and to write. Can you imagine that? Okay. And then this in turn goes back to God the Father and Jesus Christ, and then this in turn gives us a relationship with God continually. Now we'll see that here in just a little bit. Here's the goal. This is what Christ kept his mind on, for the joy that was set before him. So this helps us, you see, to be able to handle the problems and difficulties, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Genesis 1:26. Us. In order that the world may believe that you did send me. Now the world has not yet believed. So in order to fulfill this, in order that the world may believe that you did send me, what does that imply? That implies everything concerning the plan of God, correct? Does the world believe now? No! Has the world ever really truly believed? No! So this talks then about the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles, the kingdom of God on earth, when we rule and reign with Christ. This then also includes the meaning of the last great day, the great white throne judgment, when all who'd ever had an opportunity for salvation will have their opportunity. That's when the world may believe. I mean, when you read the events in Revelation, you see, the world doesn't believe. They're fighting, they're rejecting, they're killing, they're following Satan the devil and so forth. No. So this prayer, not only for us, but even here he's praying for the world. Now, verse 22. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Now, they weren't yet glorified, were they? That means the Holy Spirit, truth of God, calling of God, the understanding that has been given, in order that they may be one in the same way that we are. I and them, and you and me, that they may be perfected into one. And being perfected is a process. And that's what you call overcoming day by day. Living by every word of God. That's how you're perfected. And through all the circumstances that we go through, that is perfecting us. And that the world may know that you did send me and have loved me, and have loved them, rather, as you have loved me. Now notice, here is Jesus' desire and the very purpose of his prayer. So if you stop and ask the question, what does Jesus want of me? Here it is. I desire that those whom you have given me may be with me where I am. And where is that? Well, when Christ returns, he's going to come to and set up his capital city in Jerusalem, and all the saints will be resurrected and rule and reign with Christ. All right? Where else does where I am include? New Jerusalem, right? And the Almighty God and the Lamb are the light of it? So you see, when we read these words, we need to think way beyond just the immediacy of these words, because what did Jesus say of the words that he spoke to them? They are spirit and they are life. And this means, since they have a spiritual meaning and they bring life, this also shows that his words extend way beyond the immediate application that we're reading about here. Where I am, so that they may behold my glory, which you have given me because you did love me before the foundation of the world. So let's just finish off these other two verses here. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, which then proves up here that the world may believe, that includes the whole plan of God. But I have known you, and these have known that you did send me. And I've made known your name to them, which is the Father. Isn't that correct? And it's not a Hebrew name. I just did a short sermon on what are the sacred names of God. Well, if God created all the languages, then whatever God is called in whatever language, that's the sacred name of God, because God created the languages, correct? Yes. made known your name to them, and in the New Testament he is called what? Father. And will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So God wants us to have the very love which comes from him in us. And it's to live in us, it is to dwell in us, it is to give us the active relationship that we need with God the Father and Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Joy just doesn't come like drinking a glass of wine or champagne. And you feel real good because the wine and the alcohol gives you a little effervescence and you have a little bubbly in you and whoopee, you're feeling good. See, doesn't come that way. The joy which comes from God comes from a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ on a daily basis and through the study of the Word of God and living by the Word of God, thinking and meditating on Christ. Now, let's come to 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. Let's begin right here in verse 1. So let's understand how we are to be connected with God with His Spirit. And what this connects us to. Because what it is, it's greater than what we think. Because it's eternal and it is spiritual, and we have been predestined to this before the foundation of the world if we answer the call of God. Many are called, but few are chosen, because few repent and answer the call. So notice, verse 1, that which was from the beginning. So this is what we are connected to. Let me ask a question. Is God eternal? Yes, He is. Is God's Spirit from God, then part of the eternity of God? Yes, it is. Which means then what? We are connected by God's plan back to what He first conceived and planned through Jesus Christ. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, that which we have seen with our own eyes, you're to be witnesses of the resurrection. That which we observe for ourselves. Now, the Greek word for observe means intensely gazing upon. Have you ever seen someone just look at something as almost as if they're staring? Now, you see this with babies. Babies, when they look, they don't look around with flashing eyes. They look and stare right at you, don't they? Okay? That's what this means. They were intently staring or gazing upon what Jesus was doing, everything He did. Imagine what they thought when they saw Jesus take the fish and take the bread. You know, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Feed 5,000? Imagine what they thought when they saw Jesus bless it and He said, you take this and you take that and you feed them. This little bit? So they go to the first man or woman, children that they're, whatever, and they break off some of the bread, they break off some fish, and lo and behold, it's still there. Matter of fact, it's a little bigger than it was before. And I imagine that when the disciples were passing this out, and remember, He had the 12 plus the 70, so there were plenty of disciples to do it. And they all experienced this. I imagine that they were thinking in themselves, how is this possible? See? And they stared at the bread, stared at the fish, looked back at Christ and thought, man, look at this. The people receiving it were flabbergasted. And they came and chased Jesus down because they wanted to always have bread and fish. If he could do this once, man, he could do this all the time, and we wouldn't have to fish, we wouldn't have to make bread. So let's make him king, and he can feed us. Doesn't Obama wish he could do that? Okay, but he can't. Okay. They were all filled, and they picked up 12 baskets of fragments left over. And imagine how it was when Jesus said, all right, now that they're all done eating, you take these, get some baskets, and you go pick up, you get all the leftovers. And that means as the people were eating it, it still increased, right? How can you start out with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, feed 5,000, and end up with 12 baskets full of fragments left over? Now, does this tell us something? Yes. This tells us that God will give us above and beyond what we expect. I wonder how the news media would handle the filming of such an event. See? And all of those, as it recorded there in John, the 6th chapter, the first part, that saw Jesus do this, wanted to come and make him king. They also wanted to be associated with him so they could help dispense this kind of thing, and they would be important. You know, if a politician saw that and he figured out a way that he could use that, that would keep him perpetually in office, wouldn't it? So, you know, every aspect of all of these things are there. So when you read and study the Bible, think of things beyond just of the few words that you're reading. All right, now let's go ahead. Which we observe for ourselves, gazed upon, and our own hands handled. When Jesus said, see the holes in my hand and in my side? Yes. What did he say to Thomas, doubting Thomas, who was not there when Jesus appeared and he came in later and they said, we've seen the Lord. So I won't believe it until I see his hands and put my finger in his hands and my hand in his side. Then I'll believe it. Well, 8 days later, Jesus appeared again. You know, it was this spirit being, you can walk through walls and doors and doesn't even faze you. And so Thomas was there, and Jesus appeared, and he said, Thomas, come here. He repented instantly. He said, oh, Lord, I believe. He said, come here, put your finger in my hand and your hand in my side. And he said, Lord, I believe. He says, blessed because you have believed, but blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Which means we, because we believe, receive that extra blessing from God. Now continuing, verse 1. Concerning the word of life. Christ in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, etc. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and are bearing witness and are reporting to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we're reporting to you in order that you also may have fellowship with us. We are today reading the apostles' words, having fellowship with them through the words and through the Spirit of God, and fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and His own Son, Jesus Christ. That's the source of everything spiritual, love and joy and peace, which comes from God. These things we are also writing to you so that your joy may be completely full. And this kind of spiritual joy comes through the exercise of the Spirit of God, the love of God, praying to God, serving God, studying His Word, living by it as a whole way of life because we have fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That is the source of our joy. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.